Today we're beginning a series for the rest of the season of Easter, where we'll be following Jesus through John's gospel. Each week we'll be doing a different passage in the gospel of John. And it's all about how we can grow in relationship with our risen Lord. We begin today with the image of Jesus as our good shepherd. Friends, I invite you to listen with open hearts and minds as we encounter God's word together from the 10th chapter of John's gospel, beginning with the 11th verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand doesn't care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several years ago, there was an internet meme that became really popular. You still see it around from time to time, though it's kind of drifted away a bit. That is, it would take someone's profession, and it would compare how other people see that profession versus, in actuality, what that profession entails. Y'all remember these? I'm seeing so what society thinks my job is versus what my job actually is. And oftentimes, or pretty much every time, the person's profession and reality is far more grueling and far less glamorous than society thinks it is. For instance, there are a number of versions of the pastor meme of this genre, and let me try to synthesize a few of those for you. First one, what my mom thinks I do. And there's a picture of a man officiating a wedding. Next one, what my friends think I do. A picture of a guy out on a golf course. What society thinks I do. And there's a Bible-thumping preacher wagging a finger, assumedly preaching some kind of fire and brimstone stuff. And then finally, there's what I actually do. And there's a few versions of this, anything from a picture of a guy taking out the trash to a picture of a guy setting up tables and chairs or vacuuming, anything far less glamorous than what society thinks. There are versions of this for just about any profession, but I thought about this meme this week when thinking about shepherds, because I think that is the biblical equivalent of this meme. In the church, we have a very glamorized view of shepherding. After all, we heard the beautiful Psalm 23. All of our hymns today are riffs on Psalm 23, basically. We have the image of God as our shepherd, leading us gently and wisely. We also think of David, whose profession as a young man was that of a shepherd. We think of the story of Jesus' birth in Luke's gospel, when the very first witnesses to the Christ child were shepherds. But friends, in reality, shepherding was a grueling, dirty, and quite honestly dangerous profession in the first century world. It was often done on the outskirts of town, away from people, away from community. It was a a hard job, a physically taxing job, but it was also a dangerous job because it was quite common for predators to come and try to take the sheep, as well as thieves to come and try to take the sheep. And the shepherd's very livelihood depended on the health and safety of the sheep, so they would do anything, even putting their own safety at risk in order to protect their sheep. Friends, this is the very image, the very profession Jesus aligns himself with when talking about who he is and what that means. But Jesus doesn't just say, "I am like a shepherd," right? He says, "I am the good shepherd." I want to reflect on that with you a bit and take it kind of word by word. He begins that statement with, "I am." And those of you who have been in church a long time might understand those words, because "I am" is the personal name of God. It's an echo back to when Moses encounters God in the burning bush and asks, "Who are you?" And God from the bush says, "I am. I am who I am. I will be who I will be." Jesus here aligns himself with God, with God's mission. Next, Jesus says, "I am not just a shepherd, but I am the good shepherd." That word "good" in Greek is kalos, and it can certainly be translated as good, but I think a better way of understanding that word, a better translation, would be, "I am the model shepherd. I'm the ideal shepherd." Or I would prefer to just translate it as all caps, "I am the shepherd." Finally, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Shepherding is, after all, not just a dangerous, dirty job, but it is the profession God aligns God's self with throughout Scripture. We see it in the beautiful Psalm 23, but we also see it in the prophet Ezekiel, of God guiding Israel like a shepherd to their sheep. This shepherd is not like a hired hand who's just doing a job. No, this shepherd owns the sheep. The sheep are his. He has ultimate responsibility for them, so he's willing to lay down his life for these sheep. In fact, Jesus in these 8 verses says that 5 times. "I lay down my life for the sheep, that it can be taken up again." This image of Jesus as the good shepherd has resonated with the church over the years, so much so that it has become a theme during the season of Easter every year. In fact, today is the 4th Sunday of Easter, and every year in the 4th Sunday of Easter is what pastors call Good Shepherd Sunday, where we hear this text again and again and reflect on what it means that Jesus is our good shepherd, that we belong to his flock. So friends, we're going to reflect on that a little bit today, and I want to reflect on 3 aspects of what it means to belong to the shepherd's flock, to be part of the good shepherd's flock, and what that means for us, particularly on this side of the resurrection and this side of Easter. First, friends, to belong to the good shepherd's flock means that the shepherd knows us. In our reading, Jesus says, "I know my own, and they know me." No matter what, there's nothing we can do, no distance we can stray from God, where Jesus, as our good shepherd, forgets us, or gives up on us, or stops calling out for us. No matter what, our good shepherd knows us. This is the relational nature of Jesus, of our risen Lord, who longs to be in deep, committed relationship with us. This is particularly true in John's gospel, friends, because in John's gospel, to believe in Jesus is synonymous with being in relationship, having a relationship with Jesus. So first, our good shepherd knows us. The second aspect I want us to think about is that our good shepherd not only knows us and remembers us, but this shepherd also guides us throughout our lives. There's kind of a misconception out there, and I've been guilty of this, and I've said it from this very pulpit before, that sheep, the misconception is that sheep are not the brightest animals in the animal kingdom. A number of people have been challenging that misconception over the years. In fact, I read this week, a famous preacher and writer, Barbara Brown Taylor, claims that this misnomer comes likely from the cattle farming community. The reason being, she says, is that cattle are the polar opposites of sheep. Cattle need to be driven. Think of the show Yellowstone and those cowboys driving the sheep from behind. If you tried to drive a flock of sheep, they would either just stand there, or more likely, they would run and try to get behind you again. That's because sheep prefer, or rather, sheep need to be led. They need to be guided. And that's what our good shepherd offers us as part of his flock. To be continually guided by his love, by his presence, by his grace throughout our lives. In the text, he says that the sheep know my voice and listen and respond to that voice. The challenge then, friends, is throughout our lives, how do we listen for the shepherd's voice? How do we respond to that voice? We can certainly talk about our work in our own discipleship practices of prayer, of study, of being in worship and in fellowship together in a congregation, in a church community. But I think another good way is to ask questions, to remain curious, to continue to grow in our understanding of who God is and who we are as disciples of Jesus. Friends, that's why I think it's particularly fitting that this is our passage today as we celebrate our preschool community. Just again, I want to say how much of a blessing these children are to our church family. They bring so much life, so much joy, fun to our building throughout the week and our community, and it's just such a wonderful thing. I also want to admit something to you all. I get way more nervous doing preschool chapel than I ever do on a Sunday morning. Why do you think that is? Because these kids ask good and difficult questions. They always have something great to ask me about God, about life. They keep me on my toes. These wonderful children are exemplars for us in this aspect of being guided by our good shepherd. How can we continue to stay curious in our faith journey? How can we keep asking questions to seek to grow in a deeper relationship with God and one another and our understanding of who Jesus is as our good shepherd? So first, our good shepherd knows us. Good shepherd guides us. Finally, our good shepherd gathers us together. My favorite verse in this whole text is verse 16, where Jesus simply says, "I have other sheep who do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, so they will be one flock and one shepherd." I think for us church folks, these words from Jesus are both a comfort and a challenge. The comfort is that no matter what, our good shepherd doesn't give up on us and will not rest until all of God's children are brought into the one flock, into his fold and his care and his love. The challenge, though, friends, is to remember something. It's a challenge to remember that not everyone in the shepherd's flock will look, talk like you, Not everyone in the shepherd's flock will share your same opinions or vote the same way or even have the same way of worshiping God. It's a challenge to us to remain open to all of God's children in as we await our shepherd to gather the flock. I think this is particularly true also, this aspect of our shepherd gathering us is a reminder, friends, to think about who is left out, who is left on the outside. Because this whole chapter from John 10, where Jesus goes on and on about himself as the good shepherd, is given after this interaction Jesus has with religious officials about a man who was born blind and therefore left out of the religious community because he was deemed impure or sinful. This aspect of Jesus gathering the flock, that there are other sheep who are not yet brought in, is a reminder for us to think about who's on the outside and how we can be that welcoming presence for as we gather our flock together. But you know, also, it's a reminder to us, good-meaning church folks, that it's not our job to do the gathering. That role belongs to the good shepherd. So then what is our job as those already gathered in the flock? I think our role then is to do everything in our power to cultivate and create a community that is not only welcoming, not only inclusive, but a community in which all of God's children feel as if they belong, that they have been truly brought into the shepherd's fold. Friends, in Christ, on this side of the resurrection, we trust that we belong to the good shepherd's flock. And no matter what, our good shepherd knows us deeply and calls us by name. That our shepherd guides us continually throughout our lives if we listen for his voice. And finally, that our good shepherd gathers us and will not rest until all of God's children have been brought into his fold. Friends, as we await that good and glorious day, may we do everything in our power, everything in our ability to cultivate a community, not just in this place, but in all of creation, where all of God's children feel as if they belong, that they are welcomed, that they are loved as they are. Amen.